What's up, you guys? I'm Haley.
And I'm Andrea.
And this is Inhuman, a true crime podcast, listener stories edition.
And shout out to our patrons, because it's also a patrons edition.
Woohoo! So if you're on Patreon, you could be watching this on video. If you're not on Patreon, you can join our Patreon if you want to watch this on video.
Yeah.
But we're really excited to be doing this.
Yeah, we are. This is something new we're trying out, and we hope that you guys love it.
Yeah. But with that, let's just go ahead and get into the stories. So our first story today is from Leah. Hi, Leah.
Hey, girl.
Hi there. Just like everyone writing in their stories, I want to tell you guys how much I love you and how I'm completely obsessed with your podcast.
Thank you.
That's so nice of you.
Yeah.
I live in Sydney, Australia, and listen every day to and from work. Which is so cool. Freaking love Australian listeners.
I know.
My stories are more on the spooky side. To jump right into it, my grandmother lived about 2 hours away in a small granny flat. I'm assuming that that's like...
Not assisted living, but retirement community kind of thing?
Hold on, I'm going to look it up.
Okay.
Designed for one or two persons, a granny flat is a self-contained living area usually located on the grounds of a single-family home. Oh, so it's like a little, it's kind of, I feel like it's kind of like a mother-in-law suite, but like.
Okay.
Oh, gotcha. Like different, but yeah, that's okay. Kind of what I'm picturing.
All right.
She often spoke about a little girl in a white dress she would see time to time, but we never thought much of it. Hmm. When she passed away, my sister's boyfriend stayed the night and the next morning said that during the night, he woke up and saw a girl in a white dress standing in the corner of her room.
Oh.
This creeped us out a little bit, but thought that considering my grandma had passed, this little girl moved in with us. I personally haven't seen her, but I have witnessed some creepy shit from my sister's room. Gave me chills. I used to work night shift and would get home between 12 to 2 a.m. One night I got home and my sister was standing in the kitchen looking terrified. She walked me over to the doorway of her room and clear as day, we could hear someone jumping on the bed.
Yikes. That's terrifying.
Like the springs.
That's what I'm imagining. Yeah. Like me.
Oh.
Yeah.
The noise was so distinct, it couldn't have been anything else, but there was no one in the room that we could see. There have also been incidences where our printer would randomly start printing things, blank pages, going through, even though all of the computers and printer in the house were turned off and put away.
Okay, blank pages? I don't know why, but that just like is more creepy than if it's it was like something else.
Actually like, coming. It's like a ghost... sending a ghost message page to the printer. Ooh, yeah.
Yeah. Oh. Explanation. Whereas like if it was say the last thing you printed, like, oh man, your printer
is like glitching.
Yeah.
Yeah. Small things like this have continued for years. Even our 3-year-old German Shepherd, Freya, flat out refuses to go into her room and always looks in there like she's watching something. Okay, we've said this before, but if an animal's reacting, that's when you know some shit going on in there.
Yep, especially dogs. I feel like, well, maybe cats too, because they're like supposed to be connected to the other side. I don't know.
Yeah, no, it's creepy. To this day, we often see, hear, and experience things that simply cannot be explained. That's really freaking scary.
Yeah, no thanks.
Yeah. I don't know if you guys are interested, but I also have a lot of stories from when a few of my family members started seeing a medium. Oh my gosh, please send.
Yeah.
I find it amazing how they know so much, and I honestly tear up thinking about those times. Let me know if you want to hear them. Yes, please send them. I need to hear these stories.
Yes.
Thank you guys, and keep up the great work. Love, Leah. Thank you so much, Leah, for sending. Yeah. Hopefully all the spirits in your house stay like chill and
friendly.
Yeah. And it just, you know, nothing bad happens, but the hearing the springs of the bed move, like somebody jumping on the bed.
Yeah. I mean, I would assume because it, you know, that your grandma and your boyfriend saw a little girl in a white dress. Yeah. It's probably her yeah. jumping on the bed.
Yeah.
But that's just creepy.
It's just creepy. Scary. That's like when you know that there's somebody actually there.
Yeah. When it's like poltergeist, like things moving, mm-hmm. like very awful visual things, like that's a whole nother level of creepy.
Of scary. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. The next one is from Maddie.
Hi, Maddie.
Hi, ladies. Just want to start off saying I love the podcast and listen when doing work, getting ready for the day, and when doing jobs around the house. Anyway,
thank you for listening.
Here is my paranormal story. This happened a few years ago. Me and my family were renting a house while we waited for our new one to be built. It was an older home and we were staying in. Nothing happened the first few months of staying there, but one morning that changed for me.
Chills.
I was the only one awake in the house and was downstairs getting my breakfast. It was early and dark outside still. I was pouring my coffee when I felt like I was being watched. I turned around thinking maybe someone else was awake now, but no one was there. I continued what I was doing and walked over to get the milk out of the fridge. Again, I could feel someone or something behind me.
Oh, no.
I have experienced that, like the feeling of someone being behind you, like just like a presence, a thickness in the air.
Mm-hmm.
No, thank you.
Mm-mm.
I didn't look this time, trying to ignore it. Then in my left ear, I heard whispering. I still have no idea what was being said. It was only for a few seconds. I quickly turned around and nothing was there. I was terrified.
Yeah.
After that, I constantly felt like I was being watched and that there was another presence in the room with me.
The feeling of being watched really freaks me out.
Yes.
Because that's more than just like somebody being there. That's like somebody's like paying attention to you. Like,
right.
That's more than
you're
that.
Like
that's really freaky.
Being targeted, like eagle eye
yeah.
onto you.
Yeah.
Yeah. A few weeks later, I come to find out that in the house we were staying in, a man and his wife lived there. The husband murdered his wife by strangling her to death.
Oh my gosh. And strangulation is such a like intimate crime.
Yeah. Yeah. You have to like have a lot of feelings and emotions, I feel like, mm-hmm. to take someone's life in that manner.
Mm-hmm.
This confirmed to me that what I encountered was something, not just my imagination. Thank you so much for reading, Maddie. Holy shit. I'm so glad that you guys don't live there anymore, because now you have like a nice, beautiful, freshly built, hopefully no ghosty ghost house.
Yeah. Yeah.
But just experiencing that and then finding out later that
that's what happened there.
Killed somebody there.
Aren't they supposed to disclose that when you like move into a house?
Not when you rent, I don't think.
Oh, I guess that's
but
true.
When you're purchasing a house, it depends on the laws by state, but most states do
you
require
to disclose
that like something okay. violent took place there.
But yeah, I guess if you're renting, like the I mean the landlord, it'd be nice, but they probably don't want to tell anybody because
then that'll Why deter them from wanting yeah. to rent. Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Oh, that's so scary. Honestly, after like doing this podcast and hearing so many listener stories, I'm like, I never want to buy a house. Like, I just want to build a house. Like
yeah. a fresh house on fresh land. And
yeah.
But then ugh. Stuff can be on the land because we
That's
used
true.
To live in a like brand new townhouse. It was like we moved in like 2013 and it had been built in like 2011.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a bunch of weird shit happen in that house. That's the house where like I visually watched the door open and
right.
close. And we learned like after or while we were living there, I think we looked it up. But then we learned more like after we moved out that it was like indigenous land. like way, way back when. So even if you build a brand ass new house on land, there could still, the land could still be haunted.
Yeah. Oh, so, freaky.
You're just, you know, you're just screwed.
Yeah. You just have to like
hope for the best.
Do the best you can. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Wow. Thanks, Maddie.
Thank you for sharing that. Sometimes when I don't feel like reading or watching TV, I just want to sit back and play a fun game on my phone. And I recently started playing June's Journey, and when I tell you I'm loving it, that is an understatement. I'm already on the fourth chapter, and I've only been playing for a few days. June's Journey is a hidden object mystery game, and I love it because it brings out my inner detective. You play as June Parker in the 1920s trying to solve her sister's murder. It's so much fun to travel the world of the 20s looking for clues that are indicating that June's family has some dark secrets. You also get to create and decorate your own estate island, which I loved because it made me feel really fancy and important. In my last chapter, I discovered a big family secret and there was an unexpected death, but I won't ruin it for you. You can discover your inner detective and play yourself by downloading June's Journey for free today on iOS and Android. You can find the link to download June's Journey for free in the show notes of this episode. Our next story is from Sam. Hi, Sam. How a barefoot Ron Swanson yeeted a three-year-old from a burning car.
This like
that is the best subject line.
Yes, and there's pictures if you want to like reference the email. I was gonna add them, but there was like a bunch of different pictures and articles and stuff. But
okay, I will. I'll look it up.
It's pretty interesting. Yeah.
Whew, okay. Hello. I hope that got your attention.
It did.
Clearly, it did. My name is Sam, and first, I want to say I love you guys so much. We love you.
We love you.
My favorites are you guys, Morbid, and Crime Junkie. I know this is not a story about true crime or supernatural, but more of a story about how the universe came together to save my son, and because of this, why I believe everything happens for a reason.
Amen.
I'm like such a big believer in that everything happens for a reason.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, it does. I mean,
it really does. And I feel like I've seen it time and time again where I'm like, yeah, everything happens for a freaking reason.
Mm-hmm.
Whether you read it on the pod or not, I think it'll at least warm your heart to know that there are still some good people out there too, instead of the shitbags that are the basis behind these podcasts. LOL.
Right.
It's a good reminder. It's so nice to hear like positive faith, like faith in humanity restored type of stories.
And you guys can totally send those kind of stories in. Like we just want to hear anything, really.
Yeah. Okay. On the early morning of May 16th, 2021, I packed my two kids up in my white four-door Jeep Wrangler and we headed to Target for some Sunday shopping. I strapped my 1.5-year-old daughter in the car seat behind me and my three-year-old son into the car seat in the back of the passenger side. He was wearing a Spider-Man costume from the Halloween the prior year and also rocking a mullet where I had him dress as Joe Dirt that Halloween as well.
That's
yes,
so
we rock funny. Costumes all year round.
So do we.
This little shit was constantly locking his door because he could finally reach the lock button. Remember this for later.
Oh, no.
My husband was headed to the family farm down the road to take a semi through our small Ohio town to one of their fields. As I drove down a residential street into town about a mile from home, I started smelling smoke, thinking nothing of it. Maybe it was a house burning wood or having a fire. As I approached a red light, left turn signal on because that was the way to Target. As I attempted to brake for the red light, the pedal hit the floor and I continued my current rate of speed, about 30 miles per hour. That's so scary.
Oh my God.
In an instant, my heart fell out of my asshole as I asshole. Yeah. I just love that you said asshole. I'm sorry. Instead of just ass. As I pump my brakes and we don't stop. That's so scary. I was actually thinking about that the other day going down the hill, how like, I know all cars are different, but like my car when I was a teenager had like the hand emergency brake that you pull.
Yeah.
But my new car, it's just like a little
button.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what do I do my if car, I like lose control? Like,
I'm pushing this button?
Yeah. Like, how is that going to help?
I hate
so
it.
So scary.
No faith.
Smoke was now coming from under my hood, and I realized the smell was from my car. And I made a decision to turn right at the red light and hope and pray that no cars were coming.
Yeah.
There was no way to see down the road due to large buildings on each corner, blocking the view of oncoming traffic. Turning right was the only logical decision, as if I turned left or went straight, I could possibly be hit by two passing cars. If I turned right, I might only be hit by one oncoming vehicle. Yeah, so that makes a lot of sense.
Have to make that decision, though. Oh, my God. Yeah.
And honestly, that's smart. I feel like I wouldn't have thought
good
to
thinking.
Do that.
Yeah.
Yeah,
you do well under pressure. I see. Yeah. We see you, girl.
Yeah. As I made the turn, I sighed in relief as I had not been hit. But now I had to find a place to stop. How would I stop without brakes? I saw a sub making company. The parking lot for this business was slightly uphill, and I knew they had speed bumps at the top, which I thought would slow me down. As I pulled in, I remembered I had an e-brake. What we were just saying. Yeah. I ripped that e-brake, and immediately flames were coming from my vents and from the dash.
Oh, my goodness.
Okay, so our fear is confirmed.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
What in the world? Why?
For some reason, before I got out of the car, I had the wherewithal to click my unlock button before all the electronics were fucked to unlock all four doors, knowing my son's door was probably locked. I jump out and go to my daughter first, as she is closest. The car is starting to fill with black smoke by now. A good Samaritan runs up to me, barefooted and in a Ron Swanson 2020 t-shirt. People call him Ron, though that is not his name because he is a humble dude who probably doesn't want his name on a podcast.
Aww.
He said, "What can I do?" I barely could speak, but muttered, "Kid, other side," as I pulled my daughter out of the fiery inferno that was once my Jeep.
Oh my God.
I ran to the other side as he yeeted Spider-Man with a mullet, my son, from his car seat. Can I just say, you are such a good writer and like so descriptive. I'm like picturing this whole
thing. So entertaining. Yeah. Even though like it's such a horrible, traumatic like situation, I know now like there's a little bit of comedic relief in the way you are telling the story.
And yeah. And clearly you guys are okay. And so it's like that makes it easier. But yeah, I'm like picturing this whole thing.
Yeah.
We ran to the side of a brick building and began hearing popping sounds and a loud bang. The driver's side tire was popping and my airbag went off. I realized I left my phone in the car, but who cares? Am I right? Yeah. Side note, my life-proof case saved my phone from this fire. Get you one.
Damn. I didn't know they were fireproof.
I didn't either. That's impressive. It's like, did you see the video of the Stanley? Like, this girl's, like, car had burned.
Oh, and yeah, I did see that.
Was still like, intact. Completely intact. Yeah. Yeah. And then so many people were like, all right, I'm buying a Stanley now.
Get me a Stanley.
Two teenage girls had been driving behind me when I was driving down that residential street. They saw smoke coming from my car and had stopped to help me, too. They held my children for me as I shakingly used their phone to call 911. Wow. After 911, I saw my husband drive by in a semi. This oblivious motherfucker didn't even see the fire.
Why am I not shocked, honestly?
No, me neither. That'd totally be my
husband. Men have a thing called man eyes where they see nothing ever. So never find anything. So it's understandable. He didn't see the fire.
That's so funny. Also, my husband just heard me say that and is offended now.
He's like, wait a minute. I would totally see if your car was engulfed.
Actually, honestly, he probably would.
Yeah, he probably would.
Knowing him, but I called him with the girl's phone after I had called 911, and he parked the semi, used a farm truck, and drove back to us. He is seen on camera pulling in like a bat out of hell and was running up to the fire. Someone tried to stop him and said something to him and was pointing in my direction. He yells something to the effect of, "I don't fucking care. Get out of my way. I need to find my kids." The guy says, "Your kids are over there," pointing again.
Wow.
he was like probably so focused on getting there that he didn't even hear what the guy was saying to him.
Yeah. He's like, get out of my way. Like,
yeah. My husband runs over to us and we embrace, of course. Turns out my hubs was yelling at Ron, the guy who just saved our son. Luckily, he was a good sport and understood the heat of the moment and that my husband couldn't have possibly known what was going on, where we were, or who he was at the time. He says later he thought Ron was just a guy on the street telling him to get away from the fire. Okay, makes sense. Ron left soon after the incident because, like I said, he is a humble dude. A man on the street recognized him because small towns and told myself and the police officer what his real name was. My hubs found his wife on Facebook and we arranged a meeting to thank him for his heroic actions and putting himself in harm's way to save a child. I made his family a spaghetti dinner and wine basket. What do you do for someone who saved your kid? I don't have the money to pay off his house or buy him a yacht like I really wanted to.
Right.
At this meeting, we realized his family normally went to church on Sunday mornings, but not this particular morning. They were going to the store instead and skipping church. If he would have went to church, would my child be here today?
Ugh, don't even say it. Ugh.
I know. Mm-mm. I struggle with this because if I were alone, I would have had to set my one-year-old daughter near a busy street / sub company parking lot while I unbuckled my son from a car seat harness in a car that's on fire. We all know a one-year-old doesn't listen. Think she would have stayed put? Wow.
Maybe.
Chills, though. Like, yeah. Oh my God. That's such a scary thought. And the fact that they just happened to skip church that day.
I know. Like divine intervention.
Mm-hmm. The community this day was so sweet to us. There was a diner across the road who gave us all water and let us relax for a bit while we waited to give a statement. A woman whose apartment was near the diner gave us a freaking car seat so we could at least get one kid home safely. Aww. People were so giving and we couldn't have been more thankful.
That's a cry. Straight up.
I know. The universe, though, is what really came together this day in many ways. Number one, no cars were coming through the red light I ran. Number two, I realized I could use an e-brake to stop during a mind-blowing situation. Number three, I remembered to unlock my doors when it happened, knowing my son probably had locked his door. Number four, Ron didn't go to church and was out and about and knew how to unbuckle a car seat. That's amazing. A good point because like before I had my kid, I had no clue how to unbuckle a car seat. And like, right. You can't just yank those things out. Like they're in there. So that would have been locked
tight for a reason. Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. After this incident, the community held their first ever Citizens Award ceremony for Ron. Oh my gosh, that just gave me full body chills.
Go Ron. I bet Ron was like, oh, stop.
You know, he was probably like so embarrassed.
Yeah.
Believe it or not, this ceremony was held on my son's fourth birthday, 6/23. My son was born on 6/25. That's so cool.
That's sweet.
It was put on by the fire department, who had no idea it was his birthday. The only negative, also after this incident, the subcompany owner obtained my husband's phone number because, you know, again, small towns, and he left him a voicemail screaming and carrying on how my charred up car left a stain in his parking lot.
Are you joking?
Are you? Seriously? What is wrong?
Who cares? It's a fucking parking lot. Yeah. It's going to have stains from oil and weird other fluids and food and who knows. So shut up.
These people could have died. Don't freaking call and complain about this. That's freaking ridiculous. My insurance lady promptly took care of him, but guess what he still to this day did not fix? You got it. Bingo. The parking lot stain.
So he made a big deal about it to not fix it?
Mm-hmm.
So he probably just wanted to make the money?
Yeah. He probably just wanted to make the money.
So sick.
I guess there's always that one ass who wants to scratch an open wound. Mm-hmm. I know you're wondering how the fire started. Yes. Yep. So we can all make sure that none of this happens.
Yeah.
I had to go through a full investigation. They had to interview me asking if I set the fire or if they would find accelerant in the car, plus a million other questions. I was in shock they were asking me these things, but I had to understand that some people do crazy shit, unfortunately. Yeah. That's so scary too. Like, you just went through this traumatic event and now you're having to like defend yourself and say like, mm-hmm. no, I didn't do this. And even though you know you didn't, it's still like, what if they come to the conclusion that you did? Like, yeah. you don't know. That's what if you so weren't scary.
Convincing enough, or what yeah. if you looked up and to the left or whatever the line yeah. thing is, you know? Oh,
that's so scary.
So scary.
Turns out there was a crack in the block of my engine. My hubs doesn't agree or see how this caused it, but I have to say, I'm a nurse. I don't know shit about mechanics, and I have to remind him he's not a fire investigator, LOL.
True.
He thinks a bird made a nest in my engine near my driver's side brake, then the brake fluid acted as an accelerant once already on fire. We did have birds build nests in our engines before, so it wasn't out of the realm of possibility, I guess.
Wow. Something else I need to add to my book of things to worry about.
Yeah, really. Oh, this is when I'm happy Thanks. That my husband is a car guy and like always checking all the different parts Thanks, of my car. Yeah. My message to people is to always have a plan. I know this will probably never happen again, but since then, I put the most capable child, my oldest, in the seat behind me so I can get to him first if there is a problem, knowing that he can follow directions while I get the other kid out.
That is so smart. I've that's never thought brilliant. About that.
Yeah, that's so smart. And it's like you said, like, this will never happen to you again. It probably won't happen to all of us, but it's always good to like think of those types of scenarios and think like, yeah. what would I do if I was in that situation?
Right.
It's scary and traumatizing no matter what your plan is, but at least you'll be halfway prepared. So that's my story, how the universe came together and a barefoot Ron Swanson hero mm-hmm. saved my son from a fire. I have attached the link to the article about it and a photo of the carnage. I'm going to look at the photo right now. Thanks for all you guys do, Sam.
Yeah. In the photo, I didn't read the story because I kind of just like throw the stories together most of the time.
pick out random ones.
Pick out yeah. random ones. Yeah. Because I want like a mixture. I don't want to like, you know.
Yeah.
I saw the picture of the car seat, and to me, it looked like everything else in the car was burnt except for the car seat. So I was like, wow, was this like yeah. a, you know.
Oh my gosh, it does. Like, the car seat's not burnt.
Yeah, but I mean, it probably didn't get to that point, thank God. Yeah,
it's all charred up. Oh my gosh.
And I have like two little story adjacent. Did you see
that? That was weird. Yeah, little balloons just. Oh,
they'll see it. Well, I guess oh, the true. Listeners won't, but the yeah. patrons will.
Little balloons just floated up across the screen.
Totally cool.
Okay, so what were you saying? You oh, have yeah. two.
I totally forgot. The balloons made me forget. So first thing is the day I graduated from high school, I was taking one of my best friends and I to the like rehearsal, and we were leaving the rehearsal for the graduation. And as I was coming to a stop sign, which was like a side road, and the road that we were going to be turning out onto was like a super busy, like three lanes on this side, three lanes on this side kind of road. So I tried to brake at the stop sign and my brakes completely gave out. And I literally flew into the middle of the road and there was no cars, which is like so crazy because that's such a busy road.
Yeah.
And there's always wow. cars on it.
That's yeah. so scary.
Yeah. But and my friend was like, that... oh my God, we're going to die on our graduation day.
like, yes. Oh my gosh. That's so scary.
And then my second story is that in 2019, Manny and I, it was actually on his first birthday. We got into a very bad car accident. Like, thankfully he was completely okay. And I was eventually okay. But Matt, my husband, was coming home from work that day and he was actually stopped in the traffic from our because accident.
Wow.
And he got out because he said he saw something that made him think that it was us. And he got out and started walking up to the accident. And they did the same thing. They were like, sir, you can't. And he was like, that's my wife and my kid. Like, yeah. hell no, you ain't stopping me. So,
wow.
Yeah.
That's
so
crazy.
My little adjacent stories to your story, Sam.
Wow. Yeah. That's freaking crazy. And, I pulled up the article that Sam sent to, and like the little picture of
I know
the getting Mr. the award Ron. Is so cute.
I know.
It I can't is so cute. Like that's just like you said, so many different things in the universe coming together mm-hmm. for that to happen.
Exactly. Wow.
Well, I'm glad you guys are okay, and I'm glad that, like, you're able to at least tell the story and, you know, a little bit lighthearted, so hopefully you've, like, been able to move past some of the trauma, because that would right. be scary.
Yeah.
But, oh, okay.
Okay, so this next one is from Charlotte.
Hi, Charlotte.
Hi there, gals. I love listening to your podcast and listen nearly every day. I catch up on any I missed when I'm working. Thank you.
Thanks for listening.
I think you spreading awareness is amazing and sharing victim stories. I think this is a time to share my story a little. I sadly have had a lot of past experiences with sexual harassment and have been stalked a few times in my past 26 years of life.
Oh my wow. God, I'm so sorry.
Unfortunately, though, when I was 13, I was groomed by a guy at my school who was 16, turning 17 at the time.
How can such a young kid know how to do that? Like,
Monsters are all ages, unfortunately.
Yeah, but that's just...
Yeah. It's like a sheep. What is it? A wolf in sheep's clothing or whatever.
Yeah.
He began Facebook messaging me, being my friend, and showering me with compliments, saying my boyfriend at the time didn't deserve me and kept asking if I would like him in the future. These messages carried on, and eventually me and my boyfriend broke up, and this was his chance to strike. We met up in person after school alone in the park. I remember this being strange as he was very touchy, but nothing physical happened at this time. After the visit, he would message me and comment on my bra as he saw it through my top. I was 13. I didn't even have boobs.
Oh my God.
So gross.
That's so fucked up.
This is when it started to get worse. The messages got sexual and he would tell me what he was going to do to me. I thought this was flattery and met up with him again and again. He even came to my house, but I refused to let him into my room. Physical things happen in these times, and in the end, messages suggest I went to his house home alone. Unfortunately, I do not remember this. I only have the messages. This is where I think he raped me.
Wow. Oh my God.
And that's, I mean, PTSD can make you completely forget your traumatic experience.
Yeah.
I have had such difficulties with mental health since this and been more vulnerable to let people hurt me. I struggle with my intimacy with my boyfriend and have panic attacks daily. Unfortunately, last year, I was in a house share with a man who was a friend of a friend. My boyfriend also stayed nearly every night, but this night, he didn't. The man had drugs and drank and came into my room at 1 a.m. whilst I was alone. Luckily, nothing happened, but this triggered everything back and made me remember more details. After years of missing work, having therapy, having work and family problems due to my mental health, I rang the police. I reported the incident, even though it happened 13 years ago, and the police took down every detail. The CID are now looking into it, and the next step is my victim impact statement.
Wow, I'm so proud of you for reporting it and going, because I mean, then you're going through all of it all over again, but that's such a big step, and I'm very proud of you for doing that.
Yeah. And I obviously, you don't live in America because we have stupid ass statute of limitations that really prohibit and scare people away from coming forward, even, you know, 13 years later. So
yeah.
I'm glad that you have done this, because it helps pave the way for people to be courageous enough to come forward and tell their own stories.
Yeah, really.
Even though this is a scary part and I do fear for my protection from this man, I am pleased these crimes can still be reported, even though it happened so many years ago. I wish I could report every instance, and now I will, no matter how small.
Good.
Please. No matter how long ago something to happen to you, or if you think it's small, if you know it's wrong, report it. Thanks for listening and keep making your podcast. Lots of love, Charlotte from England.
Wow, Charlotte.
I am so sorry that you had to experience that and that people are so disgusting. But I'm, like Haley said, like, proud of you for sharing. Yeah.
But thank you for sharing because, yeah, I mean, just speaking about it and, you know, encouraging others to come forward is like such an amazing thing to do after experiencing that. So I'm so sorry you went through that. Thank you for sharing. And I'm so glad that you're taking the steps to report it and, you know, take care of what happened.
Yeah. Wow.
Okay. Our last story for today is from Carrie. Hi, Carrie. First of all, I love your podcast and the light you shine on the victims of literal monsters. Speaking of monsters, do I have a story to tell you? My uncle was watching my cousin and I while our moms went on a well-deserved girls' night out. My uncle Russ was an alcoholic, but seemed to be doing better. Well, once the moms left, he got super drunk and put my cousin to bed, but proceeded to do things to me. I was three.
Oh my God. That is disgusting.
When my mom and aunt came home, they found a trail of blood and me in the bathtub. He said that I put a Barbie up there.
Oh my God.
I spent 2 weeks in the hospital recovering.
That is awful.
He went to jail, but not prison. Not sure how to find the court documents on this. That is terrible that he like...
didn't go to prison forever?
Yeah. Fast forward 6 years, he began dating a 16-year-old. Claimed she was an employee, but clearly not, even to a 7-year-old. We lived in a duplex shared with my aunt. They had one side and we had the other. Well, my mom recorded the girl with two boys talking about a plan to take Uncle Russ out. And my mom decided it was finally time to move. And we moved from Wisconsin to Pennsylvania. 1 week later, we found out that my aunt found my Uncle Russ beaten to death down in their basement.
Damn.
No one has been convicted to this day because of a lack of evidence. But Russ Miller, my uncle, was a true monster and deserved how he died. Still do want to figure out more of the investigative information, though.
Wow.
That's
like
wild.
Some what karma. Goes around comes around karma right there. Yeah.
Wow.
Whew. Wow, that is crazy.
Wow. Wow. Yeah. Wow, wow, wow. Great stories today. I mean, just some really like creepy, spooky things. And some
amazing things.
Yeah. Wow. That was a really good listener episode. Thank you guys so much for sending in your stories. If you want to submit a story, you can do so on our website, inhumanpodcast.com. And I think that's all we have for you guys today. We hope you have a great holiday and we'll catch up with you guys soon.
Yep.
Until next time, keep it human.
Bye, guys.